Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
This morning, I want to share a message that I've entitled Unavoidable Blessing. Unavoidable Blessing. This is something that the Lord has really been speaking to me strongly over the last, probably about the last month, and that is about living in unavoidable blessing, living in a place where blessing is unavoidable within your life. It seems like so many believers are living in places where they're always having to reach out and grab hold of blessing, and they're always having to, you know, like stretch their faith to receive the blessing of the Lord. But I want everybody to hear this. Although, yes, you can live in that manner, and you can live in a place where you're always having to just believe God for a miracle just so you can survive, but I believe that God has a better place for us to live. I believe that God wants us to live in a place of what I am terming as unavoidable blessing. In other words, I can't avoid blessing. If I turn right, there's blessing on my right. If I go left, there's blessing on my left. If I go ahead, there's blessing. I'm totally surrounded with blessing. See, I'm saying I'm not going to live in a place where I'm totally surrounded by crisis. I'm totally surrounded by blessing. I'm not living in a place where I'm surrounded by calamity. I'm living in a place where I am totally 100% encompassed and engulfed with the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Whenever I wake up tomorrow morning, another blessing. Hallelujah. Whenever I go to work, there'll be another blessing. Whenever I come home, there's another blessing. Blessing is at every turn and at every corner. I believe that God wants us to live in that manner. How many of you say, I'm up for some of that? Are you up for some? How many say, yes, Lord, I want that in my life? Now, again, we just talked about miracles. I want everybody to know, if anybody in this church believes in miracles, I believe in miracles. Amen? And miracles are wonderful. As a matter of fact, you know, I said this earlier, the greatest miracle is when somebody gets saved, and even a greater is whenever they stay saved. What I'm saying is they live for Jesus. You know, they're not saved. They don't come up and have a momentary experience only on Monday morning to continue to live in the same manner that they've been living. There's a change, a transformation within their lives. And I can remember Torin here. When he started coming to this church, he'd been saved. But I got to hear later on about what God brought him out of. And I'm telling you what, this young man was a mess. As a matter of fact, that's the understatement of the year. And I'm telling you, he was messed up. If it was bad, he was involved in it. Anything you can think of that's bad, he was involved in it. He was going down the wrong way, wrong path, and God glorious saved him. Amen. Which, by the way, whenever you realize what he came out of, maybe it'll help you understand why he praises the way that he praises. He was bound. I mean, he was all messed up. But whenever God saved him and the life of God began to take over on the inside of him, there was a change, hallelujah, that God brought forth, amen? And God's still working on him. God's still changing, you know, right, Tori? God's still, all right, hallelujah. How many of God's still working on all of us? Now, I said all that to say this. That was a glorious miracle that took place. See, you may, listen, I just insert something here. You may think that your son or your daughter or your family member has went too far, but I want you to hear this. They haven't went too far, and the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God will reach down into wherever they're at, and I want you to know that God will rescue them and bring them out of that situation miraculously. We've seen it happen within our family. We've seen it happen. Stacy's brother, I've given testimony of so many times how that man, he had cussed Pastor Stacy out, said, I'll never serve the God that you serve. Said all kind of mean, nasty things. And you know what? And we began to believe God for him. I'd given up. I had already told her, I want you to know that he is a reprobate. And God has turned him over to a reprobate. Aren't you glad sometimes you can be wrong? God's turned him over to a reprobate mind. That's it. He's going to hell. How dare he? He cursed you, the woman of God. You know, of course, I was taking some personal offense about this whole situation. which I later on forgave. Hallelujah. I had to forgive him. By the way, you know, you could never really pray in faith for somebody until you learn to forgive them. You got to forgive them first. You'll never be able to pray the way that Jesus would pray for them until you, first of all, forgive them. And by the way, if you're believing for a loved one, you got to make sure that your heart is free from unforgiveness if you want your prayers to work. Amen? Praise the Lord. So just say, I forgive in Jesus' name. But anyway, so, I mean, I'd given up on him, and we, y'all know the story how that we sowed seed, and we bought a chair for him. For when we were taking up a chair offering, I said, we're going to sow, and we're believing that my brother-in-law is going to sit in that chair. And I want you to know, our grand opening service on Easter Sunday morning, he was sitting right there. I remember Eddie James and his crew being here, and I watched him with his hands lifted up to in the air, and I saw tears beginning to come down his cheek. I want you to know that we didn't even know about it, but he had gotten saved months previous. And not only that, but then while he was here, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he got, later on, we moved back, and then he got married to a woman. Hallelujah. Now, I said all that just to say that there's nothing impossible to the Lord. I said there's nothing that's too difficult for him. God did a great work in Torrin's life, and he's so full of zeal because God's brought him out of so much stuff. Now, I said that is a wonderful miracle, and we all rejoice in that. Whenever, you know, Eddie James has brought his crew in before, and they give testimony, and I mean, those folks really come from some really rough backgrounds, and it's a testimony of how God has gloriously saved them and delivered them. And you know what? And we need to hear that, because we need to know that there is hope for those who have went astray. There's hope for those who have went the wrong way. Now, that's a miracle. Everybody say a miracle. But let me tell you, there is another way that I believe that people can live that I believe is even better. And I believe that's what we are believing for your children. Understand, as wonderful as that miracle is whenever God rescued Torrin, I don't want my grandchildren to have to experience, understand how I say this, that same kind of miracle. What I desire for my kids is my children are taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and whenever he's old, he will not depart. Hallelujah. You see, the greatest miracle is actually they get saved from the time that they know how to call on the name of Jesus. They get baptized before they could even talk good in English. They're already talking in tongues. Hallelujah. Amen. They live healed their entire life. They live prosperous their entire. See, that's God's best for every one of us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's not negating the miracles. We believe in miracles. Look at somebody and say, Pastor Robert believes in miracles. Look at somebody and say, I believe in miracles. But listen, I'm declaring in the name of Jesus, we're shooting for something greater than a miracle, and that is this. We are going to live in unavoidable blessing. Your family is going to live in unavoidable blessing. Your kids are going to live in unavoidable blessing. Doesn't matter what happens. They're going to have unavoidable blessing within their lives. So let's read this scripture. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe. Now I want you to underline or write down the word obey. And then also to observe carefully. Write down the words observe carefully. All his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord God will set you high above all nations of the earth. That kind of sounds like being the head and not the tail, doesn't it? This is what he says. And get this, verse 2. And all, not some, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Everybody shout overtake. They will come upon you and overtake you. Now, I think it's very interesting. It says, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. There's only two specific requirements that we see for the blessing of God coming on us and overtaking us is this, that you obey and carefully observe. Look at somebody, say, obey. Look at somebody else, say, carefully observe. There's only two specific requirements that God places upon his people for them to actually have blessing overtake them. Now see, there is a difference between receiving blessing versus blessing tackling you. Now receiving blessing, yes, glory to God, we can receive it. But understand this, you can live in such a manner that it actually tackles you. It'll chase you down. Let me say it like this, you can't get away from it. It is unavoidable within your life. And there are certain things that God has said, if you will do this, then my blessing will overtake you. If you will do this, I will literally tackle you with blessing. If you will do this, what will happen is you will see my blessing manifested within your life in such a way that it is unescapable. Look at somebody and say, you can't escape it. Now again, whenever you read this passage of Scripture, we see, number one, that God is stating his will for our lives. This is the will of God for our lives, that we live in a place where the blessing is overtaking us. And by the way, think about this for just a moment. This is a part of the old covenant. This is not even the new covenant. The Bible says that in the new covenant, we have a what? A better covenant established upon what? Better promises. Think about that. Better promises. Now, whenever I read this right here, I go, man, that's a good promise. That's a really great promise. But God says that the covenant that I'm a part of right now is a better one established upon better promises. That means this, if this was a promise in the old covenant, then we have that plus more. We have at least this that is a part of the promise of God for our life right now. And so because we live in a better covenant, we know that God wants us to live in a place where blessing is overtaking us, where it is actually tackling us. The will of God is that the blessing overtake us. That means that he desires to engulf and overwhelm us with his blessing. Now, whenever I use the word blessing, I want everybody to understand, well, I'm not talking merely about finances. I'm talking about every single area of your life, spirit, soul, body, financial, career, school, education, social, whatever, amen? Family, every single area of your life. So the blessing of the Lord is designed to be manifested within every area of your life, and it's designed to overtake you. And the only requirement that we specifically see is obedience and careful observation. I'll say it again. Obedience and careful observation. Now, I want everybody to hear this. You are empowered to obey. That's what makes our covenant greater than the old covenant. In the old covenant, they weren't empowered to obey. In other words, there were laws that were being imposed upon you. But understand this, the moment that you get born again and you become a new creation in Christ Jesus, you have a new nature. Hear this, your nature is not to sin. Look at somebody and say, your nature is not to sin. Now your flesh wants to sin, but your nature is not to sin. The real man on the inside of you, your spirit man, that is now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, hear this, it was made in the likeness and the image of God. That means this, hear this, if your nature is still to sin, then that means that God's nature is to sin. How many know that his nature is not to sin? You've been a partaker of the divine nature. Your nature is not to sin. It is your flesh that you have to deal with. Now, I want everybody to understand this. You can overcome your flesh if you want to overcome your flesh. You just got to get your want to engaged. Right? Got to engage your want to. You know, somebody asked me one time, said, can Christians have a demon? And I said, well, I believe Christians can have just about anything they want, as long as they engage their want to. If that's what you want, then that's what you can have. But, you know, as for me and my house, we don't want any devils. Right? So we cast them out in the name of Jesus. Come knocking at our door. I'm sorry, wrong address. Bam, get out of here. Right? Shut the door in the devil's face. Don't let him in. Amen? But you see, this happens as a result of obedience and careful observation. There is no other requirement. God didn't say that you have to jump through 20 hoops in order for this to happen. It's simple. Obey and carefully observe. I want everybody to hear this. God does not make things difficult. We're the ones that are always making things difficult. We're the ones that are always trying to make things hard. And I want you to understand this. God never made anything hard. It's very simple. Obey, carefully observe, and blessing overtakes you. It's easy. It's like 1 + 1 = abundance. Hallelujah. Obey plus carefully observe, and what's going to happen? Blessing will overtake you. It tackles you. Now, I want to just demonstrate something real quick. I need a strong man to get up here real quickly. If there's a strong man. All right. It would be my son-in-law. Are you sure you're up for this? Is your back okay?
I'm good.
Okay. Okay, I want to show you the difference between receiving the blessing and blessing tackling you. Now, I want everybody to understand that I'm going to be the blessing in this part, okay? Because you ain't going to tackle me, glory to God. Yeah. So receiving the blessing is basically like this, and you're gonna receive me. Put your hand out like you're gonna. Let's get out here and so everybody can see this. All right. So here comes blessing, and he's receiving the blessing, and he takes me in, and I'm his friend. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. Now start walking that way, but get prepared. Now here's the difference in blessing tackling you. All right. Thank you, Kelvin. The point I'm trying to make, can you see the difference? Could you see the difference? Could you see it? See, blessing tackling you, overtaking you, jumping on your back. See, a lot of you have had things jumping on your back. You just had the wrong things jumping on your back. And I'm telling you, God's wanting to reverse the tables today to where blessing's jumping on your back. You can't escape blessing every time you turn around. By the time one jumps on your back, then here comes another one. Oh, glory to God. And about the time then the one comes from the side, it's like a piling on party, glory to God. I want a piling on party. Does anybody want a piling on, a blessing piling on party? I'm trying to say this in so many different ways to paint a picture in your mind of what God really wants to do within your life. So you'll begin to live differently. You'll begin to expect differently. You'll begin to walk in a new level, in a new way. Amen? I want everybody, please understand how I'm saying this. I want you to know tomorrow I'm not having to believe for a financial miracle. You know why? Because I'm living in blessing overtaking me. Hear this, tomorrow I'm not having to believe necessarily for a miracle in family. You know why? Because all my family is living in blessing and they're all serving the Lord. Are you getting this? That's where God wants to take you. Now understand this, if you're not there yet, there's absolutely no condemnation. Look at somebody and say, no condemnation. I'm not trying to make you feel bad at all, as the exact opposite. I believe God's wanting to take you by his hand, and he's wanting to elevate you up. He's wanting to give you a vision. He's wanting to get you above the fray so you can see beyond where you've been. That area that's been blinding you and keeping you from seeing God's best. God said, I want to give you another vision. I want you to see something greater. Amen. Amen. You see, again, we have a choice. We can either live from glory to glory or we can live from crisis to crisis. And far too many believers are living from crisis to crisis. Every day it's something else. Every week there's something else exploding. Now, I want everybody to understand, I am not saying, nor am I even trying to insinuate in any way that there will never be any adversity within your life. But we're going to see here in just a moment, there is a difference between adversity, facing adversity, versus adversity at every turn of the corner, and you're all being engulfed in that. And many believers live in a place where they just expect, well, this is just my lot in life. Well, you know, I wasn't born on the right side of the track, so to speak. You know, and that's, you know, my grandma had this, and my great-grandma and great-granddaddy, and, you know, they all had problems in this area, and I, you know, that's just my lot in life. Hear this, this is not your lot in life. Calamity is not your lot in life. Crisis is not your lot in life. That is not the way God designed you to live as a part of His kingdom. Hallelujah. So we can live from glory to glory. We can live from crisis to crisis. God's plan is that we live from glory to glory. We see that in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. You can read it later. But He's designed for us to live from glory to glory. And again, far too many believers are living in that manner. But to live from glory to glory means this: tomorrow is more glorious than yesterday. As a matter of fact, tomorrow is more glorious than today. As great as your today is, understand God has a greater level of glory for you tomorrow. Now, understand when we talk about a greater glory or going from glory to glory, hear this. Glory, I'm defining glory as the manifestation of God's light and blessing in every area of your life. It's the manifestation of God's light, His wealth, and His blessing in every area of your life. If you want to really get a picture of glory, go over to Isaiah and read chapter 60. Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And if you'll read on down there, you'll see what glory, he actually says, this is the glory that I am bringing. And what you'll see is that glory, when God brings glory, hear this, a lot of times people think, well, the glory of God is everybody falling out under the power. Hear this, if you fall out under the power, but yet you still can't pay your light bill, you haven't really experienced glory. Oh, y'all don't shout me down right now because I'm preaching real good. You see, if you're having heavenly things take place, so to speak, but yet you are in the natural world, there is failure all around and things are not being taken care of, then you're not really experiencing the glory of God the way the Bible declares the glory of God is. Now, I'm not negating that we see the glory of God manifested over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 at the dedication of Solomon's temple, and the glory of God comes, and everybody, they literally, all the priests, they fall out under the power of God. Now, that's an element of the glory. But understand this, if you'll read Isaiah 60, you'll find out what the fullness or completion of the glory of God is. And whenever you read it, what you'll find is that there's family blessing. Part of the glory of God is this: your sons shall come from afar. Hallelujah. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters will be nursed at your side. You know what that is a picture of? It's a picture of prodigals coming home. Hallelujah. That's glory. You read on, it talks about camels. Talks about the multitude of camels. You know what that means? That means you're going to have nice transportation. It talks about wealth. It talks about all of these things actually taking place. And you can go and you can study it yourself. But you'll see that God's glory is actually tangibly manifested in natural things. So God wants us to experience that in every area of our life. Again, far too many believers are living from crisis to crisis. And I believe that it's time to turn it around. And it's time to get off the merry-go-round. Look at somebody and say, we got to get off the merry-go-round. Now, sometimes people get on this merry-go-round and they feel like, there's no way for me to get off of this merry-go-round. Man, I'm going round and round and round, round and round and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows. Round and round, I just can't seem to get off the merry-go-round. I want everybody to hear this. You can get off the crisis merry-go-round. I want you to look at somebody and say, you can get off the crisis merry-go-round. Look at somebody else and say, I can get off the crisis merry-go-round. There is a way out. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, if we can bring that scripture up on the screen. It says this, that no temptation, or we could say no adverse situation or trial, no temptation, no adverse situation or trial has overtaken you. Notice the word overtaken. None has overtaken. See, that's the problem. A lot of believers are having adverse situations and trials and tribute. They do a lot of tribulating. You know what I'm talking about? And those things are overtaking them. Hear this. He says, no, no adversity, no trial, no tribulation. Does what? Has overtaken you except which is common to man. But God is faithful. Now, before I read the rest of this passage of Scripture, I want to focus on the word faithful. God is faithful. How many of you believe today that God is faithful? Do you believe He's a faithful God? He can be trusted. God is a faithful God. Now, notice what He says. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Now, stop just a moment. I've seen so many believers camp out right there. They camp out right there. They stop right there. Well, you know, this thing, this adversity has just come upon me, but God, you know, He's allowing it because He knows that I'm able to bear it. And my friend, if that's the way that you're interpreting that scripture, I want to give you some new insight. And that interpretation that you have been carrying is what has paralyzed you to that place that you've been living right there. How many of you are ready to go on from stopping right there? But see, people, they stop it beyond what you're able. God knows what I'm able to carry. God knows what I'm able to handle. Tested and tried. We're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. And they live their lives in that manner. They may not sing that song. They find a new contemporary chorus that basically says the same thing. And they are out there, by the way. Says, not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. But, everybody say but. Aren't you glad that God has some buts in the Bible? But with the temptation, the test, the trial, the adversity will also make the way of escape. Hear this. This verse is not so much about you bearing something. It's about escaping. I said it's about escaping. It's about God being faithful. Hear this, His faithfulness is manifested in this way. He's already provided a way of escape. When the adversity comes, He's already got a blessing escape for you. Hallelujah. There's a holy, a hatch, glory to God, that you can just whoop, right out the hatch, glory to God. I mean, you'll be like MC Hammer, can't touch this. Whenever the trial comes, can't touch this, glory to God. Here's the escape right here. Oh, I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. See, it's time to stop camping out on the merry-go-round. I've said this before. Many people, you know, it's like they're going around the mountain. And by the way, that is a picture of the children of Israel. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. By the way, while they were wandering in the wilderness, they had to believe for a miracle every day. They had to believe for a miracle. They had to believe for manna from heaven every day. God said, I'll send manna from heaven. See, that's miraculous. Does everybody understand that? Every day, in order to survive, I've got to have a miracle. If every day to survive, we're having to have a miracle, it's a picture of us wandering in the wilderness. Once they went into Canaan, though, get this, there was no more manna coming from heaven. You know what He said? Take up your sword and go fight. Go milk the cows. Go rob the beehives. In other words, now take what you know and begin to obey and go in and take the territory. Hear this, we are transitioning, or should have already transitioned, from being wilderness walkers to Canaan conquerors. Amen? See, again, I'm trying to give you a parallel here. If we're just content, you know, living in a place where I'm constantly being bombarded and I got to have a miracle every day just to survive, understand this. We are living like wilderness walkers. You're not designed to be a wilderness walker. You're designed to be a Canaan conqueror. To go in and take the territory. I hope you hear in the heart and spirit. He says, no temptation's taking you. No trial, no tribulation, no adverse situations taking you, but such as is common to man. It's common to man. I just thought I would just mention this. You may think you're the only person that's going through that situation, but hear this, everybody has, or everybody does, or everybody has experienced it at some point in time. Just the reality is this, you didn't find your way of escape, many did. The escape was there, But see, God's already made the way of escape. You just have to activate it. And by the way, the way of escape is this. You begin to live a principled life governed by the Word of God, and you choose to obey it regardless of what you see, regardless of what you feel, regardless of what you hear that is contrary. I choose to believe what God said. I live by the principles of God's Word. I don't get up today and whatever's the easiest thing to do, that's what I do. No, I live by a set of principles that are established in the Word of God. Is anybody getting anything out of this today? What I believe the Lord's wanting to do today is He's wanting to increase your vision. He's wanting to get you out of a low vision for your life. Move you beyond where you've been. Move you beyond the place where you think that's just your lot in life. Hear this, my friend. God is reaching out to you today to declare to you that's not your lot in life. You don't have to live in that manner any longer. There is a way. There is a way of escape. For many of you, the enemy has been plaguing you, been dogging you, and I'm here to declare to you a message of freedom, a message of deliverance today. You don't have to be dogged by the enemy any longer. You don't have to be harassed, living harassed by him. No, hallelujah. You can live in unavoidable blessing every day of your life. But you got to understand this. There are kingdom principles that God has established in his word that cannot be broken. They are always working whether or not you cooperate and work with them or not. Whether or not you realize it or not, there are kingdom principles, there are spiritual principles that God has enacted, and they will work if you will work them. But you got to make a decision. I am choosing today to begin to live by what God's word says. See, that's the reason that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. I think it's very interesting when you think of it just a moment. There's obviously a comparison of bread and then, of course, the bread of heaven. But also, if you think about this, bread is meant to nourish your natural body. And most people like bread. And you know what? You know the reason that you like bread is because your body actually likes carbohydrates. Sugar, okay? Whenever you eat bread, it turns into sugar, whether or not you realize it or not. You might as well have had a Snickers candy bar, but nonetheless, the reality, it turns into sugar into your system, once it gets into your system. And obviously, sometimes it's according to what kind of bread it is, but if you eat white bread and you get a big old loaf of bread and you eat that, I mean, again, you've had as much many calories as and sugar intake as probably a Snickers bar, but nonetheless, Snickers may be less sometimes. This is not a health expose right now. I'm just saying, I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all hang with me. Our bodies like bread. I like bread. I'll be honest with you. If I cruise, Dr. Atkins stays at the pier until I get back. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm not taking Dr. Atkins on any cruise. And I'm not taking South Beach. I'm going, might go to the beach, but I ain't taking South Beach with me either. I can die at any time, but I can't cruise any time. So you know what? There's food. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm having to lose some for my next one, but glory to God. Now, I said all that to say, your body likes bread. It's something that appeals to the natural man. And so what Jesus says is man shall not live by bread, but by every word. You know what he's also saying? Is you can't let your life be dictated by the natural desires of the flesh, by what your body is dictating, by what your unrenewed mind is dictating. You've got to be dictated by what I have said in my word. And if you'll begin to live by the word rather than fleshly dictations, hear this, there will be blessing that will come upon your life. You will live in unavoidable blessing. Would you stand to your feet? How many of you say, I want an unavoidable blessing in my life? Come on, lift your hand and say, I want an unavoidable blessing in my life. See, God's designed it for us to live in that. Next week, we're going to talk some about the principles that we need to enact within our lives. We won't talk about all of them, but we'll talk about living by kingdom principle and enacting kingdom principle to begin to activate unavoidable blessing. To where every time you turn around, there's another blessing. There's another blessing. See, I do not expect catastrophe. I do not expect. And again, if there's any catastrophic event Please understand, our heart goes out to anybody who has a bad, you know, a crisis moment, a bad experience. And I want you to know, we love you and we want to help you out of it. But understand this, my desire for each and every one of you is that you live from glory to glory. I don't want to see you go through crisis. And I believe that we can, listen, we can circumvent a lot of crisis if we will just begin to enact kingdom principle. I believe that. You know why? Because God's word works. It always works. It will always work. If you work the word will always work. It will always work. He will never fail. If his word fails, that means that he can fail. But I want to tell you, he cannot fail. His word will never fail. Amen. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? I want you to make this declaration today in the name of Jesus. I make a declaration that I will live in unavoidable blessing. Father God, I desire to live in a higher level of glory. I make a choice today to set my sights higher. I'm not going to live from crisis to crisis. I'm going to live from glory to glory. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am being raised up. My faith is coming up. My faith is coming up to a higher level. I will live in unavoidable blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can you give the Lord a praise this morning? Hallelujah.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.